Welcome to episode 123 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. In this episode, we are going to drink pumpkin beers, guys. It's that time of the year.
Pumpkin beers.
It's pumpkin time, and we've got four different pumpkin beers. Some of them, actually most of them, imperial, other than the first one.
Oh, joy. So we're going to go straight to the head on these.
So we may have participation from Lynn and Sherry, or we may not. We'll see.
Right.
Okay, we're going to start with Lunar Harvest Pumpkin Ale from Ghostfish Brewing Company out of Seattle, Washington.
Seattle.
Whoop.
Okay, already this one's aggressively pouring out once the can
beer
was opened.
Foam all over me.
It just tried to emerge out of the can right out the bat. Pouring nicely. Oh, look how clean that is, though.
Spiced.
It's got a nice amber color, and the head is slightly tan. Not white. Oh, but it's nice and rocky.
Yeah, nice, like, what, dark amber color, did you say that?
Yep.
Pumpkin color.
But it's clear, completely clear, very effervescent. It has a mild spice smell. I'm not actually, I don't know, is this one of the ones that actually has pumpkin? Because I don't know if I'm projecting, but I actually smell what I think is some sort of gourd.
Don't catch a lot on the nose. But when I spilt it on myself, I licked it up and tasted pumpkin beer.
So this is Ghostfish, not to be confused with Doghead Fish.
I have never heard of this brewery. Oh, it's a gluten-free brewery. Well, fuck.
Well, this is lame.
Millet, buckwheat, and rice beer, guys. 100% gluten-free. All right, for you
gluten-free
haters, this one's for you.
Well, it's got a nice sweet taste. Very malty, not any hops going there.
It's not overloaded with spice, like pumpkin spice. It's not a like super pie, you know, deal.
No, but it's definitely got, it is a spicy beer. Like this has little sweet notes. It's herbal.
A little bit of poppiness.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you say poppy or hoppy?
Poppy.
Poppy, yes.
Poppy.
But no hops.
Pops on your tongue.
It does pop.
That might be
the
effervescence.
Yeah, it's very clean. And again, going to go back to the best word ever, aqueous.
Yeah, as I said, this is a gluten-free beer. Gluten-free generally means it's not made with barley. And that's what I was talking about. These other... there's two ways of making gluten-free beer that I found out, actually.
Okay.
From a gluten-free brewery. You've got you can brew with different malt things, like in this case, millet, buckwheat, rice, and that type of thing. Or you can brew normally and then remove the gluten later.
How do you remove the gluten later?
You get like gluten magnets and you put it in the beer and it like picks up all the gluten and then you're good.
Are you making shit up?
I don't know about the magnets.
It's like, that doesn't sound real.
But I know about those two methods of getting rid of it.
Fair enough.
All right. I don't really like that, like, my neighbors are out there staring at me.
Well, see, I was going to say that earlier. Like, I love your new kitchen, except you need one of those, like, stained glass windows because your neighbors go on the deck and look right into your kitchen.
All right. Let's see. What else does this guy say? So other than those millet and those things, lactose, brown sugar, pumpkin puree, hops.
So it does have pumpkin in it.
Spices and yeast.
I got that on the nose.
I wonder if it is pumpkin gluten-free?
Pumpkin is gluten-free. And actually in my research that back in the day, especially in these here colonized United States, as far back as, you know, George Washington had a recipe for making beer, they didn't have an abundance of barley and wheat.
Yes.
Because, and if they did, they used it, you know, for bread.
Right.
And so the only thing they really had left for starchy to do the fermentation was pumpkin and pumpkin mash. So
pumpkin beer
is an American
creation?
It's American.
Make beer pumpkin again.
Yeah, make beer pumpkin again, sure. But, you know, it faded into the background when, you know, there was more access and better transpo and probably because there's more Germans going, that's not beer. Yeah. This is beer. And then they made actual, was it right? I can never say it.
The Rheinheitsgebot.
Rheinheitsgebot. But, you know, our good friends Busch and Budweiser and Coors and all those guys. And the other many other breweries that came about in the 1800s. Anyway, so a little history built in there. But this one, even though it uses pumpkin mash, would fall into the category of pumpkin spices versus actual beer made with pumpkin, which is interesting because they have an opportunity, since they're gluten-free.
No, they have pumpkin just, puree. There's some pumpkin in there.
I mean, they could just do that as the only
yes.
thing.
Yeah, it probably doesn't taste good, and that's why they didn't do that.
It's like pumpkin is kind of doesn't have a really flavor.
All right, that one was the easy drinker. That was the 5%. I'm gonna grab the next beer right away, so we like start it's, absorbing these big guys.
From a marketing perspective, it's got kind of like it's like a scary moon pumpkin rising over an old farmhouse. So it could maybe not scary, but definitely fall, big harvest moon. Or it could be really spooky. I don't know.
All right, the next beer is from Four Noses Brewing, which we had a beer.
And my hotel was Four Noses. They had that on tap. Yeah, they had a Four Noses on tap.
Well, had one of those a couple episodes ago, or an episode ago. This one's called Pump Action Imperial Pumpkin Ale. Four Noses Brewing, somewhere here in Colorado. All right, let's crack this guy.
Oh, that sounds good.
Imperial Pumpkin Ale.
This one wasn't as anxious to jump out the top as the previous one.
There you go.
Again, very clean. This one doesn't seem as heavily effervescent. But the head is a little bit more towards cream than the other one, a little less tan. And it's a dark orange amber.
Still no haze, though. Did you say that?
No, I did not. It's completely clear. There's no haze in this one.
I get more spices on the nose in this one, like some kind of spice, like cinnamon, allspice,
something
like that.
Yeah, I'm getting allspice for sure.
So these are... Sherry has just joined us. She actually purchased these beers for us. So I was like,
oh, this is much less spicy than the previous one.
Oh, really?
Oh, sorry. I dove in. You haven't done
it. No, go ahead.
I can taste more of the malt. The spices are there, but they're way more subtle than the last one.
I get the spices. I got more head than you did in.
That's the name of
your tape.
Spices
on the head. Did you know that you got us like 3 Imperial, like 9%?
No.
Pumpkin beer.
You
just found whatever you could find.
I was pointed to the pumpkin Halloween fall display, and I picked out from what cans looked most interesting.
So the first one was 5%, the rest are all 9% plus. This one is, yeah.
It hides.
You got a six pack of 9% plus.
All right.
And they hide the booze well in that.
We'll have these next year as well. They'll be in the beer fridge.
No, we'll have them for Halloween.
There you go. Okay. Trick or treat. 9%.
If any
parents come by, we'll get
drink up, Johnny.
So that you don't think this one's spicy? This one has a different kind of spice than the previous beer.
I think it's spicy, but I don't think it's as in your face as the other one.
No.
Oh, that's an Imperial too, the Yeti?
This one is not. Oh. Yes, the Yeti is. Yeti, all Yeti.
Spoilers.
Is Imperial.
Spoilers. Mm-hmm. Not there yet. But I'm not. Do you get the spices strong on this one?
I think it's a different kind of spice, but I think it's way more forward than the last one.
Interesting. I think the last one was definitely not as sweet. This one has a nice maltier finish, cleaner finish.
Oh, I was specifically not looking for gluten-free beers, and I got you a gluten-free beer.
we discussed that. Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Sorry about that.
It actually wasn't that bad.
No.
No, it was pretty nice.
And we were discussing that pumpkin was traditionally used in old timey American beers.
Yeah, and from the legend, if I am to believe this article, which I should reference, but I've already closed it, so I can't. But that the reemergence in the craft scene came from a discovery of this brewer from California discovering George Washington's recipe.
Oh.
So in an effort to emulate it, he grew his own pumpkin patch and his own fresh pumpkins and created and followed the recipe. And then quickly moved on to, wait, this doesn't really taste like much. Let's add all the pumpkin pie spices and have some fun with the beer. Which I think led to the whole pumpkin spice versus pumpkin beer separation point.
Pumpkin pie versus pumpkin
mash. Yeah, there's actually categories by the Brewmasters of America or whatever they're called.
Oh, so they separate they the pumpkin pie flavor.
No, they don't call it pie.
It's pumpkin pie. Just say it, guys.
But the pumpkin spice versus pumpkin slash squash, which gourd-driven ales.
See how our neighbors are staring right at us right now?
They're like, what are they doing? Why are they talking into a microphone?
Are they doing a podcast?
Can
about
we get
beer?
Curtains?
Why do they look at us every now and then?
Especially when you sit there.
I know. Yeah. So this is the most awkward of the seats.
Well, it's interesting because the whole display was like, there were all these like spooky beers and then pumpkin beers. So I specifically got the pumpkins versus the ones that were just like, had witch in the name. Or
yeah.
What like were the graveyard? Other, so there were like or, true beers because those have the
yes
the kind of like scary blood axe covers yeah. and stuff. Like what were the other scary ones? What
I don't remember? Know. There were a couple of bottles that just had like looked like a graveyard scene on okay. them. So I just went through and I was like, I need four ones that say pumpkin.
Now, so. If you had also said they have to say pumpkin and not be orange, would you have found any beers?
I think these all do have orange labels. Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, I was looking for orange. This one I thought, I was like, well, Four Noses does one. That's their beer's usually pretty good.
Yeah.
So, picked a brewery.
Yes, that one I picked for the brewery. And they were, Well,
it's good to know the selection criteria you use. That's really...
because... It's orange.
No, it said pumpkin in the name was the...
Okay.
And then I tried to get, and I was trying to get different breweries, and I know Four Noses makes good beer. The one that we haven't talked about. These I'd never heard of, but.
Yeah, that one's from Seattle.
Yeah.
And gluten-free.
I know.
Their entire obviously, brewery. Yeah. So you're probably not going to get a lot of them.
Yeah. There is a gluten-free brewery here, Holidaily Brewing, based in this area. It's actually close by. One of the closest breweries. We've been there a couple times.
They do a lot of collabs with other. We see them a lot at other breweries too because they're gluten-free.
To get a gluten-free option on
the
menu.
So there's a lot of collabs. Yeah.
And do they have the? Is this where you learned about the two different ways?
Yes.
Did they show you the gluten magnet? I would like to know what this gluten magnet is.
They didn't show it to me, but I heard tell of it. All right, you want to talk about our beer experience today, and I'll grab the next one of these.
Sure. The first one, the second one, or the whole day?
The whole day. It was a little beery. Well, I guess we only went to two places, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the part that's a little hazy for me. Did we only go to two?
Where did we go? Oh, okay. So you were in Boulder. We decided to do a little kind of another Colorado loop. Road trip type thing.
Hit
we wanted
the mountains.
To do some. Speaking of pumpkin beers and fall, we're going to do some leaf peeping.
Yes.
See the aspens turning colors. And so we picked you guys up in Boulder, drove up to Nederland, and that was the first place we went, the first brewery we went to, which was called.
Westbound and Down.
Nope.
Very Nice.
Very Nice.
Oh, the first one. Right. Yes. Very Nice. I took all these pictures. I should remember.
Very Nice Brewing, which wasn't even open, but we walked in anyway.
And just assumed, and I was like, I'm going to use your bathroom. We're going to order. Is that okay?
I guess. She didn't say anything.
No.
But apparently we got there like a good 15, 20 minutes before opening.
And it was kind of cool because the brewer came out and he was like chatting with us. And and because we were talking about one of the beers, the Earl Grey Pale Ale.
Right.
Which was called... Make It So.
Make It So, which is a reference to The Next Generation.
So we're huge TNG and Picard nerds.
Yes.
And loved that. And the brewer also came out. He's like, "Oh yeah, I'm a huge, huge nerd."
He's like, "Here's how I tried to slide in there." Which turns out the beer, even though it said new on the menu, it was one of his first brews that he made, which was 20 years ago.
Yeah. So it was really good. They didn't unfortunately have that in bottles, so we didn't take one home with us. But I don't know if the Earl Grey had anything to do with it, but it tasted like a really great pale ale.
No, it's a really good pale ale, but it did definitely have some of that, whatever that thing that's in Earl Grey.
Some of that,
is it cardamom or
calming tea flavor or something?
Or
cardamom's pretty strong. I don't think it was cardamom.
What is the thing that's in Earl Grey? There's like specific
tea.
Thing. No, but there's a thing in the tea.
I have no idea
what it is. But it had those notes and. In a good way, not like a strong...
Bergamot.
That's it. That thing.
That's a spice that's in there as well as like the tea leaves? Okay.
Yeah. And there you could get a little hint of that.
Okay.
I didn't know what it's called.
You pulled out the bergamot from that beer.
But I wouldn't have called it that. I was like, I can taste the Earl Grey-y of it though, or some lame interpretation there. But then from there, we also did... enough flights to sample each of their beers.
Yeah, they had, I think 9 beers on draft?
We did take a picture and put it on our Instagram site.
Yes, check CNBC_podcast on Instagram. You'll see some photos from that.
Yeah, and so we tried every one of those. And
did a good little selection of beers. They had... like
a lot of ginger.
They had some really good ginger beers.
A few ginger beers. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of Colorado breweries, they had like 3 or 4 IPAs in the mix.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, this one didn't have a lot
of IPAs.
They had
like 3. We had 3. Or pale ales.
They had pale ales. Yeah.
The Wee.
Wee something or other.
Which we were asking if it was West Coast, and she said, we call it
Netherland IPA.
Yeah.
And it, like, it wasn't.
Was
yeah.
that an N then, not a W on the chalkboard there?
No, it said
check
we.
Out our Instagram.
It said we.
Like, are you sure it wasn't an N?
It was a pronoun. Not like West End or West. It wasn't an acronym. It was like we IPA.
All right, so I'll crack the next beer and then we'll get to the continuation of our beer experience. But that brewery, super cool. Sherry's brother, Brett, who runs a brewery, had told us about... he's like, if you're ever in Netherland again, stop by that brewery. There are like 3 breweries there. And that was one that I've been wanting to try for a while. Ooh, this is a different color.
Oh, that's a beer of a different color.
Yes.
I'll trade you. So this head is a much darker tan, like when you would get off a stout.
Copper Kettle Brewing Company's Spooky Hollow Rum Barrel Aged Imperial Pumpkin Porter. A pumpkin porter. Fun.
Yeah, it's not, it's opaque. It's very dark.
It's dark. It's not hazy, though. There's no, like,
it's not hazy? I can't see through it, though.
Yeah, you can't, it's pretty dark. I mean.
Is it just the color? That,
but I think it's like a.
I'm not very good with science either, apparently.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if it's hazy. You can't really tell.
You're right. Okay, I smell
rum?
Raisins.
Raisin?
I smell raisins. I smell
the raisiny.
Or stone fruity
stone
thing.
Stone fruit, yep. I'm trying to see if I get any rum on the nose or vanilla or anything like
or
that.
I get, that's what I get is like spiced rum. Did you say this? What I didn't listen to you.
It's a rum barrel aged imperial pumpkin porter.
Yeah,
porter.
I'm catching some of those notes then.
Excuse me.
Okay.
That's
a good drink.
That's easier than I was expecting.
So you get the coffee. I can taste the porter.
Yeah.
And
then the pumpkin comes? That's kind of how I feel I'm getting.
Are you getting pumpkin or pumpkin spices?
I feel like I get the porter and then the pumpkin spices.
Yeah, again, I don't know if we blasted our palate with the first one, but I'm not getting a ton of spices. It tastes more like hints off of a barrel aged porter, but it's good. And now this is a positive, not a negative.
So this one's 9.2%. We're going up in alcohol with each one of these beers.
This one definitely has on the nose, had all the indicators that this would be a boozy swig, but it doesn't have the burn.
I feel like
of a liquor.
When this warms up a little bit,
yes,
it's gonna like feel more boozy.
Yeah, right? And this one feels some like of the cold is disguising thing age, things. Yeah, yeah, if you let this thing age for a while, it would be another. This is definitely more on the latter end. This would be a great Thanksgiving beer.
Yes, because it's spooky looking too. It's scary.
But there, I can see that when I pour it out, there's almost like a deep, deep, deep red color, a ruby going on in there.
Almost hues of purple in there.
Yeah.
When you get like the thinner part of the beer.
But yeah, it does have a sweet nose. But it doesn't have that cloying sweet taste. Mm-mm. Nose is sweet, but yeah, but the taste is nice and clean and just hints of the herbs that give it a little sweetness. And it seems really mellow.
It's
like it's not aqueous, it's more creamy.
And it's not like a lot of times with a 9% plus, you get that booziness.
Yeah, no boozy.
I'm not getting the booziness. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we did have a lot of beer experiences, so like we had our high and then low.
Yeah.
Nap.
I really like this. Yeah.
I'm really interested to see. I'm gonna let this warm up a little bit.
And have you had Copper Kettle beers before?
I don't know. They're in Denver.
Yeah,
I don't know where they are. I don't think so.
Well, let's talk about we did miss an opportunity. We made such a big deal about the selection process. What's the label Four Noses? And then, you know what? This one I'm looking at here.
It has just
a smidge orange, but
yeah.
And it definitely is on the spookier side.
It is a little spooky.
It's got
the headless horseman.
Yeah, the headless horseman guy.
With a flaming jack-o'-lantern impaled on a sword on the side of it. But kind of looks classy though.
Rum barrel aged. I'm not getting, I don't know if I get any rum barrel. Like
I feel like that would be vanilla and stuff. Yeah, well that's, feel the flavor of that and how mellow it is and everything seems to be kind of, there's nothing that's like attacking, there's no astringency. I don't know if I would have, it feels like you get a little bit there and then on the nose you get a little bit of the rum.
Yeah. Okay, so after continuing our beer experience, so we had that beer in Nederland. We drove from Nederland to Idaho Springs through the mountains, saw the changing aspens. Amazing.
Wait, was it after?
More after, would say.
When did we see the dude in the that was after?
Oh, so we didn't talk about
Westbound and Down.
The dead man?
No, the moose.
Dead guy? Oh, the moose. All right, so Westbound Down. On the way to Westbound Down, we actually saw the mountain goats.
That's right, we saw mountain goats. And then day before we had seen bears, black bear all over bears. The place.
And bear cubs.
Bear cubs, which is always scary.
Okay, so Westbound Down. Actually, we'd been there before on a previous visit of yours.
2018.
I think they're one of the better breweries in the area. They have one beer called Juice Caboose, which I think we'll do like a video episode for, which is widely known around here. Why are you shaking your head?
Well, we already did it. We're
only 22. Oh. We'll do a video episode.
Yes, we did it.
Quantum math that's part of our is theory. Hard.
All right. Yeah.
But Juice Caboose was a delicious beer that these guys produced. They didn't have it on tap. As a matter of fact, we were a little disappointed because there's a couple.
They had
of
a
beers,
bunch of beers oh gosh, that they didn't
they were
have
just
on
sold
tap.
Out, that they're like, packed all. Yeah.
Yeah, the place was really, really, really busy, and they're like, "This one's gone. This one's gone. This one's gone." Despite that, we still managed to get a flight of eight
or so different beers
and great flavor profiles. But that one definitely was there. Like there was like six IPAs, yes, and then yes, like four more pale ales.
Yeah,
and then some like hoppy pilsners.
Yeah.
So like half the menu was in that pale ale hop forward type beer.
They had like the categories. They had hoppy, they had sour, they had malty, and they had light. And then like in the light, sour, and malty, it was like, oh, we don't have those. Oh, we don't have that. We don't have that.
Sold like,
and so like the one IPA they had, what was the like, the hop blaster or whatever?
It was
called Hop Overload?
It was all the hops.
Yeah, that one was everything. Like, after that I was like, I need to have something that doesn't have hops because I can't, that's all I can taste right
now. Yeah, they had that good Saison and they had some ginger going on in this one too. Like, I guess ginger is, I don't know if that's a summer or fall thing, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Or a Colorado thing or just a thing lately, but there's a lot of ginger-based concoctions. But one of the better ones they had, especially with the green chili spicy food we were having, was their Mexican lager.
Yeah.
Called the Colorado or Coloradan.
Yeah,
that was pretty damn good.
Yeah, so we got some food there, and great menu there, good food there, highly recommend Idaho Springs. Stop by Westbound Down,
definitely.
You've got a couple other breweries in Idaho Springs, Tommy Knockers.
And they have that pedestrian walkway, like you just go down. Yeah,
the
street's
closed off. You can like hit the little tchotchke stores. They've got
seem to be dog friendly. There's a lot of dogs.
Yeah, a lot of dogs walking around. They have a cidery there. They have a wine thing. They've got all sorts of cool stuff. So, from Idaho Springs, we went up to Georgetown. We decided to do the Guanella Pass ride, so up through Georgetown.
Oh, those switchbacks and those views were just phenomenal.
We didn't stop in Georgetown. We contemplated, but Mike and I have been to Guanella Pass Brewing before.
Yeah.
And we were kind of running late on time. We wanted to get up to the top of the mountain. So we get to Guanella Pass, the actual pass location where you can hike up to Mount Bierstadt. And that's where we filmed CNBC video episode
122.1
on our YouTube site, 122.1.
That's where we had the caboose juice.
Guys, we drank a beer at 11,669 feet.
It was very high.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was pretty, and the views were just amazing.
And if you're up there, I left my knife there because I jabbed it into the ground to prop up my camera.
Yeah, we're right around that place where it says, do not leave the path. You know,
we didn't walk on any. We stayed on the path
the whole time.
I totally
went after all the holes and environmental things I could to destroy them. I stomped and did a lot of kicking.
Continued.
All kidding.
The beautiful drive through...
And one of the things that we always want to see when we're out in a place where these things exist, the giant noble moose.
Oh, yes. We saw a moose.
And this wasn't just like a moose ass running out into the woods, or this wasn't a moose that hadn't quite got its headgear going. This was a full-on giant moose with the rack, and it was like, my job is to stand here for tourists because it was in a nice meadow. I mean, I guess it could have been a little bit more clearing so there'd be less, you know, brush in the way, but it was a pretty impressive thing to see. So it was spotted by Lynn, and we all got to see it, made a U-turn. Excellent photo opportunities. We should probably put that.
When this episode's published, we'll put out a picture of the moose as well.
Right. Excellent.
And then from there, we kind of drove home and napped-ish on the way home as we drove.
It did, you know, with the switchbacks, every time you fall asleep, you do lean left. It was when the switchbacks went right that we had the problem.
All right. Let's get to the fourth pumpkin beer of this episode. This one's from Great Divide Brewing in Denver. We've been to this brewery, right? We went, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, yeah. We did.
In our Rhino Brewery tour, we went there.
Yeah. And that they have a presence, a restaurant.
Yes.
Yes.
In the airport. And yes, on the times I can't hang out with you, I do stop by the Great Divide and try some of their Yeti type stuff.
All right, so this is Pumpkin Spice Yeti Imperial Stout with coffee and spices.
Yeah, So I thought I did different because there's a porter, a stout,
you did,
an ale, and then an imperial ale and a regular ale.
You got we went from light to slightly darker porter to that is motor oil, dude.
Whoa.
All right, the head on this is barely tan. It's really dark brown. Kind of a mocha chocolatey brown, and I can see nothing through this beer. When he poured it, it looked like motor oil.
9.5%, so ratcheting up yet again, guys.
Oh my god, but yeah, you like from a color profile, this one, it's opaque, dark, motor oil.
Yeah, that is...
Okay, so on the nose, I'm not getting any of these spices.
More like maybe chocolate on the nose or coffee.
I'm getting burnt. Like burnt.
I get a little coffee.
I'm getting more of the malt, I think. You're getting coffee?
Yeah.
Maybe a little.
Not super strong, but there's some coffee there.
And. But it was a toasty. I got toasty, not burnt. Toasted. Like toasty malt on the nose.
It's kind of like drinking toast. But it's not like it's
well, that's still a lot sweeter than I thought
to drink,
it would be.
Though easier to drink.
Mm.
These 9% easy to drink beers are super dangerous.
So that one had a way sweet finish, and the way it poured and the lack of effervescence, I would not have picked it to be this bubbly in its flavor. I thought it would be a little bit more mellowed out, but it's got quite a bit of pop with the bubbles, huh? But the head didn't persist.
What flavors do you pick out of this?
I'm getting coffee, bitter,
but
it tastes sweet. It finishes bitter. It's like a coffee without cream, but somebody put some sort of sugar flavor into it. One of those squirt bottles.
What do you
think?
You get any flavor-wise?
I get the coffee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of coffee flavor to me.
Mm-hmm. Like, are we supposed to be picking, is this spice or is this one like a legit pumpkin?
It says
beer?
It has spice in it, too.
It says coffee and spices.
Do they have a little thing to read?
Mm-hmm.
When the air gets crisper and the foliage turns brilliant shades of red and orange, the Yeti yens for a gibation that captures the quintessential flavors of fall. Rich and roasty with added layers of decadent sweetness, Pumpkin Spice Yeti is brewed with seasonal spices and a unique selection of coffee from our friends at Pablo's Coffee. Oh, Pablo's, we've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Pairs perfectly with hay rides, pumpkin carving, and leaf peeping. Hey, we did leaf peeping.
We did leaf peeping. It's right on brand. I like this one, but I...
Do you like the phrase leaf peeping?
It just sounds gross. It sounds like you're doing something you shouldn't be doing.
Like, you can get arrested for that.
Right. I'm not going to be able to be that guidance counselor for the high school anymore because I'm a leaf peeper. Yeah, it doesn't work.
The four Great beers out. We had today. Mike, what was the first one over there?
The first one over here, we had the gluten-free Lunar Harvest Pumpkin Ale.
From Ghostfish Brewing out of Seattle. The second one was from Four Noses Brewing. It was called Pump Action Imperial Pumpkin Ale.
All right.
The third one was...
Spooky Hollow. Straight out of Ithaca, New York, or thereabouts. Sleepy Hollow. That was the Rum Barrel Age Imperial Porter. Imperial Pumpkin Porter.
From Copper Kettle Brewing in Denver,
Colorado.
Oh, I'm supposed
to do that whole thing. I don't have the glasses.
And then finally, Pumpkin Spice Yeti Imperial Stout. Stout with coffee and spices from Great Divide Brewing in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
Mike, which was your favorite of these four beers?
So I'm just going to comment when I...
Taste the one that's warmed
up. Oh, yeah, let's go back to that one, right? We let it warm up.
That was what...
That was the Spooky Hollow. But yeah. I will say that of the four, the one that was completely consumed and there was no sampling left was the Four Noses.
It was also a smaller can.
Fair enough, it was a smaller can, but getting to check that taste profile out was... this smells like raisins as well.
I'm bouncing between the two last two to see which one.
No, I like that. I like the Spooky Hollow one.
I think Spooky Hollow might be my favorite too.
Yeah, that one had the best things going on. But a strong second is this Yeti, because it's a great freaking stout, and it's subtle, and it's nice.
I like Spooky Hollow warming up.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to get better, a little bit warmed.
The porter and the stout are definitely on the tail end of the fall, not the front end of fall.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite sherry?
I think I like the Four Noses. But I like spicy.
You want the spices, pumpkin. The pumpkin pie.
Maybe I liked Four Noses, but I didn't get a second stab at that because everybody drank it because it was really good. No. So maybe I should change my order to Four Noses.
Mm-hmm. Lynn, did you drink enough to have an opinion? No. Okay. No. All right. I think that's it for this episode. Our food's here as well.
Oh, right on. Well, that'll help absorb it so we can do the next episode. Thanks for listening to CNBC episode 123. You can subscribe to our podcast feed and all the podcatchers like iTunes and Spotify and all that fun stuff. Or get the podcast directly from our host at cmbcpodcast.com.
You can also follow us on some social media stuff, particularly youtube.com/cmbcpodcast. You'll see our 11,000 foot episode.
Yeah, go back and check out the mountains.
Mountains. Yes, and our Instagram site where we'll have a bunch of photos, CNBC_podcast.
So, in honor of the pumpkin beers and the spooky from Mr. Edgar Allan Poe, fill with mingled cream and amber, I will drain that glass again. Such hilarious visions clamber through the chamber of my brain. Quaintest thoughts, queerest fancies come to life and fade away. What care I how time advances? I am drinking ale today.
Cheers, cheers. Edgar.
Drink good pumpkin beers.
Drink good beer.
Or, you know, if you can, good beer if you can't drink good pumpkin beer.
If you can't get barley beer, drink pumpkin beer. Or millet beer, or butter. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. I feel like I sound not as loud as you. You need to say some stuff, but that's
well. I mean, that's just normal because I project as if I'm constantly on stage.
That's just your great hormones.
I'm just loud. And when I look over my shoulder, what do you think I see?
Some other cat looking over. Let's see if this sounds any different at all. You say some stuff.
And I'm going to say stuff. We are here to drink beer. We are here to kill war. We are here to laugh at the odds and live our lives so well that death will tremble to take... All right, you know, I got to get this
right. Gotcha. Stitch. You got to pick up every stitch, yeah.
What? How did we get... This is the podcast about enjoying eyeglasses.
This is the podcast from 50-year-olds. All right.